Is it too early, or is it okay? Okay, so my presentation this morning, I have two challenges. The first one is to run it in 1 hour and 15 minutes. And the second one is to convince you that Polybase, which is the main subject, is very simple to use, right? So now I'm going to introduce two of my colleagues. I'm part of the APS Center of Excellence at Microsoft, and two of my colleagues, François Beller and Matt Gosware, located in Germany and UK, are working with me for quite a long time now. So, agenda is, we go through some of the observations that we had on what is the data warehouse, what is standard data warehouse, how it mutes into a modern data warehouse, and how we can answer in terms of solutions to that. Then, of course, I'm going to deliver some demos of APS. So overview, and then a couple of scripts, how to leverage Hadoop information within a SQL database. And at the end, we will go through some use cases, scenarios that we worked on for proof of concepts for customers all around the world. And the interest of these scenarios are that they are using internal Hadoop solution, external Hadoop solution, and Azure solution from APS. So that's the typical classical data warehouse. And what here, the point is that it is something which is monolithic. Basically, you produce your own data, process them, and then expose them to the users. That was, until a few years ago, what we were used to, right? But now, what we see is that, first, the volume of data is increasing, and then we are also using sensors data, web logs, proxy logs, if it is about security, or anything about, if you are working for a telco, it can be all the logs produced by the smartphones and any kind of cell phones. And of course, the users are using their tablets, mobile phones, to get their insights, to get the reports in near real time. And also one last thing, which is we are using data from cloud platforms. And I don't know if you attended the session on Monday that was delivered by Aaron Kelly, who is our general manager on the marketing of the data platform. But the cloud-borne data, actually, we see that data are sitting where they are, which is there is no real movement between on-premise and in the cloud, but it's more or less that we need to reconcile all this data without moving them. Polybase, that's the gateway, the hub between cloud, between Hadoop, and relational data. And that is something that we have seen regularly. That is our answer to be able to manage all that. So which is the infrastructure layer, which is we have relational data, non-relational data, so we have DocumentDB, we have Hadoop files, anything like that. We have analytical data, like analysis services, like Pentaho cubes or business object universe. We also have the need to stream data in near real time into our databases to provide near real-time analytics, right? And then on top of that, the green layer, that's more or less how do I process, how do I clean my data, how do I cleanse my data, and then on top of that, exposure of the data, but also on the right-hand side, do additional work like predictive analytics. Predictive analytics, we have an offer which is Azure Machine Learning. And basically what it does is read the data from your appliance, analytics platform system, process this data, and produce a result, which is some evaluation of whether what is going to forecast the future or find relations, hidden relations between your data. Because usually predictive analytics, that's finding the hidden meaning in your data. All right? So, lots of things, and how should we use all these various tools? Now, we see here an observation of there is some kind of buzz around Hadoop, but people, when they think twice about Hadoop, they are not going to put everything, all right? And the point here is, how should I use Hadoop well? How should I use my database well? How should I use an appliance well? It's actually that's the evolution of people thinking, going into the right direction. Here, it's also just to demonstrate what are the key usages of all the data. So it's basically interactive analytics, and that's why we have the Power BI on top of the data, right? Because it's the 50%. And it's SQL and HDFS. So, yeah, these are all the main questions. We have seen that slide several times, right? And how should I reuse my old hardware or existing hardware? Can I reuse it? And should I invest in knowledge into Hadoop or any kind of big data solution? We have Hortonworks, we have Cloudera, we have MapR, we have lots of things. Where should I go? I should also learn Java, I should also learn Pig, Python, lots of languages. I should buy an appliance, but there is a cost. And we know that we have some competitors who have extremely expensive appliances. So all that, that's, I would say, all the main questions before going into, from the classical data warehouse into a real modern data warehouse. So the answer, or our answer, is the Microsoft Analytics Platform System. It used to be, some time ago, PDW, Parallel Data Warehouse. And it has changed to that branding because in this appliance, we provide more than just relational data, right? And it's not only the solution inside the appliance, but it's also the gateway with your big data, or the gateway with your unstructured data, and gateway to machine learning systems such as Azure ML, right? So what is about APS? So in APS, we have the choice of having relational data, but also non-relational data, all right? Because within the appliance, we can decide, we can choose the size, the power of the system for the databases, but also for the Hadoop distribution. We use actually Hortonworks on Windows inside. That's a choice when we go to HP or to Microsoft and say, I would like to have that size of appliance. How many compute nodes, how many Hadoop data nodes? One thing that is extremely important about that solution. And sometimes it is not really advertised, but think that if you can access unstructured data in a Hadoop cluster from SQL, it means most probably that you can secure this data from SQL. And it is not a small detail, but it is really, you use all the standard T-SQL language to grant, revoke, or deny access to data that is in a Hadoop cluster from APS. That's one first great advantage. Second one is, we introduced some months ago the integrated security in APS, right? So it means that I have my single domain with all my users, my groups, and to these users, to these business users, then I provide the right to access or not some of the data, some of the database, and some of the files that are in a Hadoop cluster. So that's a real integration of everything. It's not only getting the data, but it's also about securing the data, right? There is also another aspect that we may not really talk about. In a SQL database, we are used to concurrency, right? User concurrency. We can have hundreds, thousands of users simultaneously querying the database, right? Hadoop is very well as an MPP system. It is not yet well as a heavily concurrent system. So think about how to use and what to use to get the best experience from a user perspective, right? That's extremely important. And then when I said we are using T-SQL, it means that in terms of learning curve, the appliance, the learning curve of being familiar with the appliance, it is very short. It can be sometimes it can be a few days. I've seen some people, I work with people, and after 2-3 days, they were able to perfectly understand how it works and how to develop and to write great projects. Right. So that's some of the key advantages of APS. Core features. Yesterday, the day before, you have heard, if you attended the sessions from my colleagues, Franz and Matt. So some of the core features are the cluster column store, which is updatable since almost 2 years, if I'm correct. And also the parallel execution. So it's MPP in the box, but also in memory column store data. Up to 100 times faster queries. As an example, Matt ran a proof of concept where basically improved the performance by almost 1,000. It was 960 times faster. Once for a bank, a customer, then we reduced from 45 minutes bank statement processing into 10 seconds. 4 hours to, so you, in your case. So cluster column store, that's really something extremely efficient and easy to use, right? And MPP in the box, that's basically the optimizer decides what is the best strategy to move data around in the appliance. And we try to leverage our expertise and knowledge in the SQL optimizer and bring from this knowledge and expertise experience, we bring that into the APS optimizer. So there are some similarities in terms of cost estimations, that kind of thing. Another core feature that we have and that really differentiates us, which is we have HD Insight. Basically, it's Hadoop in the box, so Hadoop in the appliance. It is not only a head-to-head communication between the relational engine of APS and the name node of a Hadoop cluster, but that's really communication between data nodes of Hadoop and compute nodes of APS. So in terms of data exchange, it's extremely efficient. And just about that, that is one of the core advantage of Polybase. Communication is from data node to compute node. It's not head to head. So this is what we can do now. Within APS. So you see that we have our central, some kind of enterprise data hub. Probably you are going to hear more and more about that. But simply with Polybase, then we can easily talk to Hadoop systems or to Azure Blob right now. Right. And that is going to be enhanced within the next months, years. See Polybase as a link server, basically. Right. And we can have interaction, direct interaction between APS and Azure ML. Where is Azure ML? Somewhere here. And the thing here, that pipe, that just depicts express routes. And with express routes, when you have people who are reluctant to go into the cloud because it is public and it goes through the internet, then we have an answer which is Azure Express Route. And this Azure Express Route is a dedicated link from your data center or your customer data center into our Azure cloud services without going in on the internet. Right? So in terms of privacy, that's pretty important and critical. So some of the key principles of Polybase: best-in-class performance, as I said, it's a direct connection between the compute node, APS compute nodes, and the Hadoop data nodes. Open and flexible because we support Cloudera HortonWorks, whether on Linux or Windows. We also support Azure Blob Storage. Hybrid, because we connect transparently to Azure and to Hadoop. And Hadoop, again, it can be inside the appliance, but it can also be an existing cluster, Hadoop cluster outside of the appliance. It uses standard T-SQL statements, so very easy to understand. And on top of that, we have all the usual BI stack, Power BI, Power View, etc., to connect to this data transparently. And in one demo, I'm going to demonstrate from end to end, Rollup Cube until Hadoop data. So now, I talk too much. I think that's the place for a demo. Hopefully, my password is correct. I still remember my password. Switch to Hadoop. By the way, so this guy, HDFS Explorer. That's a tool that is developed for free by Redgate, a partner. And you can download it from their website. And I use that frequently to connect to Hadoop Hadoop clusters to manipulate files, copy, rename, do whatever. So that's just to give you an overview of the structure of my Hadoop cluster. So I will work on, so that's my email alias, leonardp@microsoft.com, and then techhead, that's the folder where I have some files. So I stored the demo script, but I also have zip files, standard files, text files, and some other text files. So little things like that. Now, the overview is about the admin console, which is a web page that allows you to monitor what's going on your APS system. So I connect. And in a nutshell, you can see everything what's going on, all the sessions, queries, loads. Think of all the ETL jobs, BCP-like, because we don't have BCP in APS, but we have a tool named DWLoader. That's for the same purpose. Load flat files into the appliance with an extremely fast rate. We achieve on a full rack in our labs something like 9.5 terabyte an hour loading time. So it means that all the migration effort, you know, when it is the initial load into the appliance, frequently it's a matter of minutes, sometimes hours, but not more than that, right? Loads, what's going on about the backup restore, right? And all the event viewer logs are gathered and consolidated into this web page. Of course, we can drill down to all the components of the appliance. Resources, it's basically the logs. And then performance monitor, that's a real-time graph where you can see, you can select and define all the counters that you want to see. And of course, one thing is you can drill down on one of the node and look at the CPU usage. Same thing for data throughput, same thing for network activity, etc. These are the, I would say, the standard performance monitor counters. So, maybe you already thought about that, but it means that without any installation, I can monitor remotely what's going on my appliance, right? What I would like also to show you is, that's the SQL Data Tool. So SQL Data Tool is the idea of Visual Studio dedicated for SQL connections and for DBA work. So what we see here, connection to a PDW, that's whether with the external address or internal address. Internal address uses InfiniBand, the 56 megabit per second network inside the appliance. So whenever you have a system that has an InfiniBand connection to the appliance, you can leverage that that network. And this is the specific little icon for IPS. So data tool knows that it connects to an APS system. And you see all these databases, cybercrime, etc. That's my little demo database I'm going to use. I'm going to use another database where we have fact table of something 1 billion rows in one fact table and 10 billion rows in another one, just to demonstrate that it is fast. External tables, that will be where we store the metadata of the Hadoop files. Right. And what I would like also to show is This database, DemoDB CCI, CCI stands for Cluster Column Store Index. We have files, tables. And we can see these are the small icons for what we call replicated tables. And here we have the icon of distributed table. So replicated tables typically are dimension tables, and distributed tables are fact tables. Right. And we define and we decide on which column we distribute these tables. So, and one other thing is we have little icon for the cluster column store index. So we know, and we have a different icon if we use standard B-tree indexes, right? So very easily, you can see the structure. It's all familiar to DBAs, right? No questions so far? It's good. So now we are going to see what's behind, what are the objects that we need to manage with Polybase, right? And basically how it works behind the scene. So an external table is basically a Hadoop file on a Hadoop cluster. It's all about that. The external table, as its name shows, is a structure. That's the metadata of the file. What are the column names that I want to give to the data, data types, etc. So, as I said earlier, we can secure that object. External table means that's a table, and I can apply grant, deny, revoke on that table. I can secure the data in the Hadoop cluster. This external table uses a data source, external, which points to an Azure blob or to a Hadoop cluster, and uses the external file format. So the file format is simply what are the field terminators, what are the row terminators, what is the date format. And of course, we can use several sources and several formats to fit to the file structure on the Hadoop cluster. To illustrate that a little bit and to make it concrete, so I go back to my SQL data tool. And I go here to the data structure and have the list of all the data sources that points to a Hadoop cluster. I can right-click use source code, and then I get the IP address of the cluster and file format. So get one file format, view code. So and you see compression, because I can specify that I'm going to read a JZIP file. APS and Polybase reads natively a zip file. It's very straightforward. It takes, when you get the books online of APS, it takes a couple of minutes to be able to access and manipulate Hadoop data. And below these objects, what we have is Polybase and its mechanism. What Polybase does is, so as I said, we have direct communication data exchange between the Hadoop data nodes and the APS control nodes. Not only that, we also have, when we get data from Hadoop, we redistribute that data on the fly in internal tables and send the result to the client. So that's why we mentioned the split-based query processing. Go to the old data nodes, redistribute the data in a round-robin fashion, and consume the result. It's that simple. One key element is what we usually call a push-down predicate, which means that if I run a SQL query on an external table, which is a Hadoop file, and I have a where colon equal a filter, then the optimizer is able to generate on the fly a map reduced job to just get the data that fits to the filter condition, right? So it means that if I have terabytes or petabytes of data in a Hadoop cluster, I just get what I need based on my group by or where close. So behind that, we also manipulate statistics. We can create statistics on the Hadoop file, and it will be a simple create statistics on the external table, nothing else. So it's very easy. It is about leveraging the T-SQL language. Of course, since the MapReduce jobs are generated on the fly by the engine, no need to understand Java, no need to understand Python or Pig. Or you can discover these languages on your spare time if you want, just as I did some time ago. Again, what I would like to insist on is the security. We are using T-SQL, so it means that we are using the T-SQL security model. And it, we can apply it directly on this external table, so on the Hadoop data. Last point, extensible approach means that Polybase, as I said, it's some kind of link server, so we can extrapolate and think that it will be available for additional sources. And it's not a big job to extend or enhance Polybase connectivity capability, right? We also have performance improvement that are scheduled. I think in terms of, just to give you an idea, Hadoop, the data transfer node to node from Hadoop to APS, it's something like around, in our labs, we run up to 200 gigabytes an hour. So it means that if I have an appliance with 8 nodes, it will be 200 gigabytes an hour multiplied by 8, right? So in terms of data transfer, that's pretty fast. Can be, you can have several data sources, so you can have the dev environment, you can have the production environment, you can have even some, you can think of multiple things, because behind, and I will show you in the second demo, we can create views. So we can create one view in one database that points to a Hadoop file that is referenced as an external table in a different database. We can secure all that. Very simple. Again, it's T-SQL. No need to maintain a separate import-export utility. It means that we can use the Hadoop cluster through Polybase as a staging area. Right. Sometimes people mention, talk about data lake. It's basically I have that huge distributed file system and I put all my files, all my archives, and then I can create them as cold data. And behind that, we also need to understand that it's about no limit to the archive. So me, or as a customer, as a partner, with that, I don't have any limit in terms of storage. Right. So that's the idea behind the data lake. Multi-temperature, as I said, it's get the data, you have the hot data, and you have the cold data. It's up to you to decide where you put your data. We see mostly in the scenarios that we are going to have cold archive data on the Hadoop cluster and the hot data for instances of access within the appliance. High concurrency, but also extremely fast response rate, right, on the hot data. Then we can use right now Polybase as a gateway to Azure data. So it means I can access to a cloud storage which is unlimited as well. So it is whether internally or externally. And again, here. I can decide whether my connection is public through the internet or private through express route. The two providers of express route service, as we have a list of 10 to 15 currently, and it will be it will change. But currently, for instance, we have British Telecom, we have Orange that are providing express route services as providers for dedicated links. Right? So there, we can provide you indefinite storage, but also elastic storage. Huh? Azure is, or cloud is about not only infinite storage, but it's also elastic resources, right? So if one time you need to do some test, temporary test, get a subscription to Azure, some storage, use it, test it with and leverage Polybase for that, and then when you're done, then you can switch from Azure to HDFS on-prem. It's very easy, instantaneous. Round-tripping scenarios, it's basically I have data, relational data, I export the relational data into the Hadoop cluster, transform the data on the Hadoop cluster using any kind of Java libraries, whatever code you want, and send the data back to APS, or do the other way around. Get the data from Hadoop cluster, get this data into APS, do the massive transformation in APS, and send the consolidated results back to Hadoop. It's pure T-SQL, a statement to do a round-tripping. And? So, the demo now. Is about creating a data source to Hadoop cluster, creating the file format, create external tables, and go through this rollup scenario, all right? No questions so far? Straightforward. So by the way, I did that. So that's you see that's the version appliance update 2 we are running on this appliance. So now I create my external data source to the Hadoop cluster. That's Hadoop cluster that is on the Ethernet network, because the appliance, you can access it, as I said, through external network, 10 gig, 1 gig, or internal network, which is the InfiniBand. Right? So here, it's external connection. And you see that I point to the Hadoop cluster, but I'll also mention, where is it? Okay, job tracker location. Job tracker location, it's for the pushdown predicate. When I want to ensure that I'm going to run MapReduce job on the fly, then I specify the job tracker IP address and port number. Now, I create the file format. So I use the pipe as the field separator. Date format will be the default one, and that's it, right? So now if I go and refresh, you see I have my little file format here, right? So I go up to my DB underscore linelp database. Where is it? Here. Okay. So, you see, language is T-SQL language, right? Loosely coupled, I use that term because when I create an external table on a Hadoop file, the Hadoop file can change anytime. Every time that I read the data, I get the latest copy of the data, right? The only verification that is done when I create the external table or at runtime, it's basically do have data. Is the path to the file correct or not, that kind of thing. And at runtime, do I have the proper delimiters on the file. It's all about that. So, action log staging loosely coupled. So you see, I define all the columns. I gave the names, types, whether it is null or not. And then I specify the location. Here, the location is not a specific file, but it is a folder. And actually, in that folder, I can have many files as long as they have the structure that I create in the external table. It will reach them, right? So I've created that file, that external table, sorry. And I run a select query. Wow. 0 second for 46 rows. But here, so this actually, this table was a log coming from an application metering system, right? So it was a customer who wanted to understand how users were using the applications, how the time to go from one menu to another one, what were the features, dialogues, menus that were used or not, that kind of thing. So it's all about this action log thing, right? So, as I said, the table is, you see here, LC loosely coupled, so I go to my Explorer, and you see, so I do the select star from a directory directly, no matter of the number of files. I can now, what I'm going to do is delete two files, rerun the query, loosely coupled, and I have the result is changed. Very simple example that can show you that, for instance, we can have some ETL scenario where you have one process or orchestrator process that sends data to a folder, and then you have some kind of sub procedure that is getting the data in near real time manner. It's all about that. And in terms of what I need to do is create the data source, file format, external table, secure the external table if I want to have some privacy and secure that, and that's it. Now, I'm going to create an external table on a specific file, just to show you. So again, data source, file format, and then I specify, I forgot this guy. And then specify the file. I'm going to do the same thing on the compressed file, right? No specific option, because by default, Polybase understands JZIP file, JZIP format. And here, another example of, here I have some more data, so XL4 extra large, right? I create my files, and I run these four queries. So here you have option label. Option label means it's some kind of hint that helps me recognize the query when I go to the admin console or when I go in the DMV and track query execution times, right? So while it is running, so you see, we had 500,000 rows and almost 3 million rows. So the result is quite acceptable, knowing that behind I have a small 4-node Hadoop cluster on VMs, right? So, but it's just to show you fast and easy, and of course, securable. And if I go to the admin console, so I told you that I labeled my queries here, and you have the label column. And this label column, you find it in the DMVs, DM, PDW, exec request, right? So it is exposed. And you can, it's easier to track the query response time. And then we can, what is interesting is, look at, so folder with text files and folder with compressed files. So we can see that also, if we want to be faster, then sometimes it's better to use compressed files. Right. Not always, but it's all about, after, depending on your experimentation, you decide, is it better to compress or not? Purely based on your needs. And in terms of additional tasks, there is nothing. You have seen, I created this on the table, that's it. So now, I'm not doing any hardcore SQL statement because I know that's the end of the ticket. So I try to keep things simple for you, but also for me, so I can manage everything. So look, I run a standard query, group by query, on this on one of the external table, right? It's totally transparent. So it means that for all your application development, it can be almost costless in terms of development effort. Because behind that, I could have, instead of the action log staging underscore JZ table, it could be a view that is a union between a regular table and an external table. Totally transparent for the user, right? And what I'm doing now is that I create on the fly a relational table based on the content of an external table. Right. Okay, now let's refresh. You see, I have the columns, two columns. This is the distribution column, and this is the second one. I say that I distribute my table on client IP, and there is a small icon. I also created a cluster column store index on that table. So the purpose here is just to show the feature, is not to think of whether it is appropriate or not to create a cluster column store index on such a small table or distribute such a small table, just to show the feature. And now, what I'm doing is I generate a Hadoop file based on the content of a regular table, right? So I do that for dimension table, customer, and then I'm going to do the same thing for products, product category, and product subcategory. Okay. These are created, apparently. You see? I created the external table. It's a folder, and HDFS customer, product category, subcategory. And inside the folders, I have the file. Right? So I can export that file, do whatever, or change the content of the file. Right. Now, what I'm doing here is I join an external table in Hadoop with a regular table. By the way, this fact sales table is, it's some hundreds of millions of rows or 1 billion. But the thing is transparent and fast, right? What else? Another query here. Basically the same thing. Now I join my fact table and the customer table. It's based on AdventureWorks, so if you know about AdventureWorks structure, that's exactly the same. We just expanded that database to fit to PDW performance, APS performance. Now, I go into a DemoDB CCI database. And what I'm doing here is, in this other database, I'm going to create a view on each of these Hadoop files. Let's do that one by one. And okay. And now I go to Management Studio. Okay. And with Management Studio, I connect to my analysis services server that is locally on my system. And I have here my ticket database. I actually, in that database, I have one cube. The cube is a rollup cube. Facts are tables sitting in APS. Data source, I will show you the data source points to APS just to demonstrate that it is totally transparent. From an analysis services perspective, there is no additional effort or investment. So, let's say that I generate the script of the data source creation, and you see data source. That's the IP address of my APS appliance, plus the TCP port to connect to it. And that's all. And I use the regular SQL native client. It's basically all the BI stack use the SQL native client to connect to APS. Only thing to specify, IP address, :17001, right? And just to show you that I'm not cheating, so properties, I have everything. So now I think that I can process the whole database. Since I process the whole database, I process the dimensions that are MOLAP, and I process the facts that are ROLAP. And for instance, if I go there, where is it? Yes. Just to show you one of the dimension processing, you see? Analysis services process the dimension, which is actually a view that points to a Hadoop file. From analysis services, it's totally transparent. So in terms of effort, it's nothing, right? That's straightforward. What else? So now let's see that cube. So instead of browsing into Management Studio, I generate a pivot table. And you can see that I can create fact sales count, right? Return quantity, for instance. It's something like 1 billion rows on the table below. And you see the response time. So it means that you don't need to use MOLAP. You don't have the cost of the fact processing, because in Rollup it's instantaneous, and you can get near real-time data into your reports. That's all what it means. And customer, right? And what else? Product. So this cube is pointing to Rollup facts of something like 1 billion rows. And with these two dimensions, MOLAP dimensions that processed Hadoop files. And we have done that during the demo with very simple syntax, C-SQL syntax. That's nice. Applause. Thank you. Thank you. Last day. Okay. Now, I go through very quickly some real-life scenarios. And constantly, what we can see in these scenarios is that people want performance and easy understanding or leverage existing knowledge of the people. It's, I would say, mainly it's one of the two key drivers of using APS over Hadoop. So this was an example of using, so it used to be PDW, no APS, on top of Hortonworks 2.0, 2.1. And the guys wanted complex queries. I think that on Hadoop, you can put any kind of library, any kind of tool manipulation, or even machine learning algorithm to manipulate, transform the data, and get them back into APS. This one was a POC that we did for a current customer. And you see, that's the amount of data that we worked on during the POC. That was during the POC. Polybase, much faster than Hive. Because with Hive, it's basically an ODBC driver that goes to the Hadoop cluster and get the data. With Polybase, as I said, I will repeat it, it's data node to compute node communication data exchange. So it's extremely fast. And of course, they wanted to have Azure communication. That's the overall picture. You see, between Hadoop and APS, we just had the 10 gig network connection, and even through that, it was extremely satisfactory and fast. And all that, behind that, it's what I show you in terms of complexity, in terms of syntax. External tables, external data source, file formats, all about that. Another, still this same example with the using the, so CETS, CTAS, create external table as select, something that I show you. I'm going to produce a Hadoop file based on existing data, and this existing data can be whether regular tables or Hadoop files. Yeah. And you see, you have the volumes, 50 gigs compressed data from Azure to APS. Another example that was a telco. So first one, you had external Hadoop cluster plus Azure, right? This one was telco, again, APS and Hadoop. And let's see, in that case, the guys decided to use InfiniBand, yeah, because we can, if we want, we can connect our Hadoop cluster to the InfiniBand switch of the appliance and take advantage of that fast network that is InfiniBand. InfiniBand, it's not only about being having a extremely fast throughput, but it's also very low latency. Basically, the ping is below 1 millisecond. And also, the CPU overhead of the traffic in terms of CPU is something like 5%, right? So limited CPU overhead, low latency and high throughput. Another one, oil and gas, so oil company. And another case, it was in the US government and administration, and they used, again, Polybase. So again, Hadoop with APS or APS with Azure, and all about all that is that very simple T-SQL statement that takes advantage of Polybase. And you see here that they wanted to use Azure storage and keep the privacy between Azure and their data centers. And so that's why they use ExpressRoute, that dedicated private link from data center to Azure services. And one, I think it is my last use case, company that were selling beverage machines, renting beverage machines, and they had, in this very last case, Hadoop inside their plants used through APS. So this last case is internal Hadoop, Hadoop region. That's what we call, we say, when we talk inside APS, we talk about PDW region and Hadoop region. So in that case, it was internal Hadoop, Hadoop region. And that's one last example of must be the DCU, Digital Crime Units, that are, who are analyzing logs, find intrusion patterns, that kind of thing, through a machine learning algorithm. By the way, we did something similar for a famous European aircraft company. And what we did, I'm not going to deliver the name, but we did the same thing. We got all their terabytes of proxy logs and put that in Hadoop, Some of the data, we moved the hot data into APS and export the data, run machine learning algorithm on that to detect eventual intrusion pattern. And now, the last thing I'm going to cover is the password. It's just to show you what if I have to connect to Azure and do the same thing. So, all the work that I did through the demo, I can rerun it. I just have to create the Azure data source, reuse the same file format, and do the same thing. Export, round trip the data between APS and Azure, transparently. Is it simple? Straightforward? Yes? Applause? Thank you. Okay. Resources. The DBI tracks. Sorry. I forgot to switch DBI tracks. And if you want to review the sessions of my colleagues, Franz and Matt, that's their references, B310-331. And additional resources that I'm going to go through, Channel 9 to get all the great sessions we had during the whole week. By the way, I would like to tell you that all the people who invested in doing the sessions within Microsoft and our partners, really the quality of the content is similar to what we have internally in our conferences. So really, it's really valuable to come here and get all this information. And thank you for giving good feedback. Thank you all. Questions? We have 5 minutes. Enjoy Barcelona for the weekend. Or have a safe trip back home and enjoy the family.